So let's turn now in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel. We are looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Now, what I've been doing, and those who come regularly will be aware that I've started to go through a series on the book of the Revelation, but because of January, the difficulty with holidays, with people being away, I've just been doing one off through the month of January. And today I want to look at a text that I consider of great importance to God's people. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 19. Perhaps we'll just read from verse 19 to verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now that's our text this morning. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you again this morning for your holy word. We thank you that it is a living word. We thank you that it's been given to us by the God of heaven so that we might indeed understand something of his majesty and understand the wonder of redemption and understand the need for God's people in life and to equip them for service. And so, Father, we ask that you will help us now as we turn to your word, and that once again this book will live to our very own hearts. And once more we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And amen. This morning I've entitled my message, The Christian's Treasure Trove, or if you like, The Christian's Treasure Chest. Our text for today is that text which I have just read to you. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now remember, folk, who it is that is saying this. It is the Lord Jesus, and he is speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking to the multitude of people, and he's saying to them here, amongst many other wonderful things in this great sermon, he's saying, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me say this, that every person in this room today, that is perhaps apart from the babies, have what can be described as their treasure chest, as your treasure trove. And I want you to think about this, because it is very, very important. What is a treasure chest or a treasure trove? The dictionary gives us this definition. It is a collection or store of valuable, delightful, and very precious things. It is a collection or store of valuable, delightful, and very precious things. I'm sure that even the children will understand that. Let me emphasize this morning that without exception, every one of us in this building this morning have a treasure chest, something and some things that they treasure above other things. In it are stored all sorts of things which are precious to the owners, precious to you in life. And if you think about that this morning, you will immediately understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. These precious things range from that which is very precious to that which perhaps is considered as nice. Now, the interesting thing about this treasure chest is that it is visible to all and sundry. What do I mean by that? That if you have a treasure in life, that treasure that you have in life will be visible to those who are around you, especially to those who are your closest friends. No one can hide what their treasure is. You cannot really hide it because it is very precious to you. It is very important to you. And that which is precious and that which is important to you and to me just cannot be hidden. I have no doubt this morning, or I guarantee rather, that I can tell everyone whom I have spent time with here in this building where their treasure lies. Now, I don't want to frighten you by that. That is a reality. And I have no doubt whatsoever that you can turn the tables and tell me what you believe my treasure in life really is. The fact is, our life's treasure simply cannot be hidden. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, it is true that through life, changes are made. Changes are made in all of our life. I can look back on my own life. I was thinking about this in preparation, thinking to myself, there were things that were very important to me and perhaps somewhat precious to me when I was young that are no longer precious. They no longer have the same appeal. As it were, I have taken them out of my treasure trove and I have given them to the op shop. I have decided that is not really my treasure anymore. Now, I'm sure you can identify with that. I've watched friends over the years make many changes in life. Let me use an example just here. I have a younger brother who's 6.5 years younger than me. We come from a family of eight, so you can see. And that he is the one that comes right at the end. 6.5 years younger than me, 17 or 18 years younger than the oldest member of the family. And I've watched my brother over the years, knowing him very, very well, and watching how things have changed in his life. Whenever a number of years ago, he really got into exotic birds. And he built himself a beautiful aviary, and he had these wonderful birds. People used to come and they would admire them. Whatever he did, he put his whole heart into, and they were wonderful. But then the time came when he decided that he didn't want them anymore. Then he was breeding dogs. He had beautiful dogs, but in time the dogs went. Then he was into hunting. And he would go up to Scotland, and he would hunt not just ordinary hunting, but he would hunt for special trophies. But that has gone as well. He is a master craftsman, and he loves his machines, and he has designed sheep machines. He has gone to Germany and told the German companies exactly what he wanted. But that, to a large extent, has gone as well. We were over last time, we saw that he was in his garden. We went there, he was in his garden. He was in his glass house. His garden and that are very, very beautiful. So we see that continually he is making change. His love for these things have come and they have gone. But one thing has remained, and that is this, and I can say this honestly before God, is his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though today I am 12,000 miles from where he lives, I know that later on in the day, because UK is 11 hours behind us, I can tell you exactly where he will be. He will be in the house of God. And I can tell you that on the prayer night meeting of that church, I can guarantee you where he will be. He will be in the house of prayer. Because of that, I know without asking him where his treasure is. Now, last year, sadly, he lost his wife through cancer, a wife that he loved dearly. He has two daughters, which he adores. Yet through his wife's illness and his daughter's problems from time to time, his love for the Savior has continued to shine through. I'm not saying that to boast about my brother. I'm simply using that as an example to help us to understand what the Lord Jesus is saying just here. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is it then that causes a person to be so focused? Yes, even obsessed about their treasure. What is it that causes that? The treasure that you have in your life just now. What is it that causes you to have that passion and that obsession? We can answer this, I believe, with one beautiful word, and that is the word love. That is the word love. How often in life have you heard someone say, I really love fishing. I really love rugby. I love my music. And of course, many of us will say, I love foods. I love barbecues, family reunions, and I love holidays. My dear friends, what I'm saying is this. We can see that our treasure stems from our love. And love is something which cannot be hidden. It's something that cannot be hidden. Have you ever watched when a couple fall in love? In a matter of a few days, everybody knows. Because it cannot be hidden. Not possible to hide it. Great example of this is the Lord Jesus Christ at the tomb of Lazarus. Let me read a couple of verses there that says this. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit, and he was greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? That is Lazarus, his body, where have you put him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then that short verse that we have in the Bible of two words, even the children know it, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. The next verse says this, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. Do you see what I'm saying? His love couldn't be hidden. And whenever the Jews saw the Lord Jesus weep, what did they conclude? They conclude that Jesus loved Lazarus, and he wept over the fact that Lazarus was dead and that his sisters and family were brokenhearted. You see, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. You cannot divorce your treasured love from your loving heart. You cannot divorce your treasured love from your loving heart. Love has a profound effect upon the human heart. Love is strong. Just read 1 Corinthians 13, which tells us the power of love and the wonder of love. Love has a profound effect upon the human heart. It shines through the person's words and actions and deeds. I know this morning as I look over this congregation, I know what your loves are. I've seen them. You haven't necessarily come and said so. But you see, love shines through. And it is where your treasure is, your heart is, your love is. That is what Jesus is saying just here. One very important fact I found about love is that it cannot be imparted to someone else. And you might say, hold on a minute, Alfie, what are you talking about? Listen carefully. Love cannot be given to someone else. What do I mean by this? We can impart knowledge, but we cannot impart love. I can stand here, not very wise, but if I read the Word of God, and give to you knowledge in great theological truths. I can give you that. I can give you many other things in life. But the reality is, I cannot make you love. I cannot make you love. I can exhort you to love. I can appeal to you to love. But I cannot make you love. We can show love. We can do acts of love. We can even preach about love. But I cannot go to you this morning and say, you must love. You must love your neighbor. You must love your friends. You must love those. I cannot make you do that. And if I do happen to move your conscience somewhat, that you go and do it anyway, you will be doing it out of duty, and you will not be doing it out of love. You see, loving your wife, loving your children, loving your family, it's not really a duty. It is something that you delight in. It is your treasure. We can tell you that you should love God and you should love your neighbor as yourself. Why can we tell you that? Because God's word tells you that. And so I can come to you this morning, and I do, and I say you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. But I cannot cause you to love God or your neighbor as yourself. I can make a man, as I said, I cannot make a man love his wife or his children or God. Why is that? Ever thought about that? You, I'm sure, like myself, perhaps have seen a couple whose marriage is on the rocks. And you think that the man has been very foolish because he has got a wonderful wife. But you can see that they're growing apart. You can see that he is with other people and perhaps even with other women, and it really annoys you. Perhaps he's a close friend. And you go to him. And you tell him you should love your wife. You can tell him what you think about her and how wonderful she is, how kind she is, and how she loves you. But you cannot make him love her. You cannot do that. Because the capacity of love, my dear friends, really at the bottom or at the end of the day, is from God. The capacity to love is that which comes from God. John says this in 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. You know what comes next? For love is from God. Let us love one another. For love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and loves God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so what we see here, my dear friends, is that the ability to love is that which comes from God. There are many here this morning who can look back on their life and they can say that there was a time when they didn't love God. There was a time whenever their love for God was not real. Yes, they maybe went to church, maybe even said their prayers. They would go through the motions of the Christian faith, but they didn't really love God. As I thought about that, I thought about the hymn that was penned so long ago, a hymn that is a great hymn. It's one of the few hymns of a man called Robert Murray McShane. And this is what he said. Listen, and I'll quote the hymn. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah to Kenzie was nothing to me. And that means the Lord is my righteousness. He said, I was once a stranger to grace and to God. And he said, there were people who came and they spoke to me about and great rapture of Christ Jesus on the tree. And he said, Jesus meant nothing to me. Like tears from the daughters of Zion at Rome. I wept when the waters went over my soul, yet thought not that my sins had nailed to the tree. God, our righteousness, our Lord Jesus Christ, was still nothing to me. The third verse goes like this. When free grace awoke me, listen what's happening. When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me, I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah Tiskenu, my Savior must be. My terrors all vanished before the sweet name. My guilty fears banished. With boldness I came to drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah, this Kenya, was all things to me. What is he saying here? He is simply explaining that there was a time when he didn't love God. There was a time whenever Christians would come and talk to him. And whenever they talked, he could see their enthusiasm. But Jesus meant nothing to him. Until free grace awoke him. And he realized his own sinful state, and he realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save him from his sin. And by faith he came and he embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's saying, Jesus means everything to me. You see, it is God who filled his heart with love. To the hymn writer, this great treasure is the Lord of glory. Nothing in all the world now can compare with him. He is always right there at the very top of his treasure chest. When he wakes up in the morning, his first thoughts are of Christ. When he lies down in the evening, his last thoughts are Christ. Through the day, he thinks and speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord of glory is now everything to him. That's where his treasure lies. That man, Robert Murray McShane, if you find, you can actually go now, I found, to YouTube and just put in any of these names and you will get a very good outline of the life of some of these men. And I think McShane is one of them. He died when he was 29 years old. But he left a mark that is there until this day. His love for God, his love for the gospel, his love to proclaim the word of God has lived on after this man, young man, died at 29. His love for Christ could be seen by so many. Someone once asked how on earth he could preach with such great power because he didn't seem to be very eloquent. Someone took him into his study and set him down at his desk and said, "This is where his great power lies, because this man spends hours pleading with God to help him to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." So we can see, my dear friends, that's where his treasure. No difficulty knowing where Robert Murray McShane's treasure lay. No difficulty knowing where Charles Haddon Spurgeon's treasure was. For so many, many others from then and even today. My dear friends, I want to take a moment now just to bring this together as we look and think about people in the Holy Scriptures, especially the psalmist. It's a great blessing in reading through the Psalms. And in doing so, you will have no difficulty knowing where their treasure lay. I'm going to quote some Psalms to you. Not the whole Psalms, just some verses. Psalm 27 and verse 4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Now listen to what he said. "One thing I've asked, this is what I pray for, Lord. And this is what I seek after. I pray for and I seek after the fact that I might be able to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That's what I want to do. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. "As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." See what he's saying? "As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Have you any difficulty knowing where this man's treasure lay? In God. Psalm 63, verse 1. "O God, you are my God. Early I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. Behold you in your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So will I bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands." My friends, who's writing this stuff? Just ordinary men who have fallen in love with God. They saying at the end of the day, of all the other things, this is what I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, those are just some verses. There's one short psalm, and if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to it. It's Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I just want to press this point this morning so that we can understand what we're talking about, what we're thinking about when Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen to this man as he speaks. Psalm 84, verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. You see, he's away. And he's away out in the mountains. And he longs to be in the house of God where he can worship God. And this is what he's talking about. You see what he says in verse 3. He envies the sparrows. He says, even the sparrows find a home. I don't know what you know about sparrows. And other birds as well. But in the UK we have them, a lot of them. And they will make their nest in some of the most peculiar places. Sometimes right up at the high building, in a church building. Sometimes in the spire. Sometimes they even get in and they build their house, their nest, right up in the corner of some of the cathedrals. And the psalmist here is saying, I envy the sparrows. He says, even the sparrows find a home. And the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young in at your altars. The psalmist also obviously saw the sparrows in the days gone past above the altar where they had made their nest. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, even singing your praise. Selah. Stop and think about that. Verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the highways of Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, now he's talking about those who make their way to the place of worship. They who make their way to the temple or the tabernacle. He says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. He's thinking about the time that he did that as well. And then he says this, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield. O God, look on the face of your anointed. And I love these verses, or this 10th verse. Listen to what he says, and you'll know where his treasure is. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside of it. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Where's his treasure? Have you any doubt knowing where his treasure is? His treasure is in God. His longing is to be in the house of God with the people of God, joining together in worship and praise to God, sitting under the word of God and knowing the presence and power of the eternal God of heaven. My dear friends, as you and I examine our hearts today, where is our treasure? I'm not here, and I know my own heart too well, so I'm not judging anyone. I wouldn't dare do that. But I would ask you this morning, where is your treasure? Here's a challenge to you and to me. Do the people that you live with, do your friends and your family, know that you love God, if you really do? Do they know you love God? Those in your place of employment, they might not like your lifestyle, but at the end of the day, are they able to say, one thing I know about this guy, he has a God, and he loves that God. But then maybe you're here this morning and you don't love God, and you know that. So many, many people, my dear friends, in today's world who just go through religious exercises. They want to go to church. They want to be hyped up. They want to enjoy all that's going on there, especially the things that appeal to their flesh. And then they leave. But as we sit here this morning, can we say, I love God? Can we really say, I love my God? I know I love him, and I love him simply because he first loved me. He set his love upon me. He drew me with the cords of his love unto himself. And I love him with all my heart. Let me say this morning, if I understand God's own holy word aright, that there is no place in all the world where anyone will find real joy and lasting pleasure. The hymn writer says, real joy and lasting pleasure, only Zion's children know. John Newton's hymn. Only Zion's children know. You see, we have pleasure in this world. We have satisfaction in things, but they come and they go, as I have just said. Some of you would have enjoyed rugby much more than you do now, or whatever. It has come and gone. But lasting joy and lasting pleasure is only found in God's. And it's there that we will know a treasure that will grow more precious to us as the days go by. How often have you heard old Christians saying, the Lord Jesus Christ means more to me than ever before. I love him more than I ever loved him before, but I long to love him more. And I long to please them. The joy of knowing God, the joy of walking in communion and fellowship with God. Let me close by quoting the two verses that we have found in that passage I read. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. In this world, all the treasure and all the pleasure will be swept away. And we can see that continually. The heart, as we look at people's lives who are in a mess, there was a time whenever they were devoted to something or someone. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, don't lay up for yourself treasure on earth, because you know that moth and rust destroy and thieves break through and steal. He says, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves break through and steal. I just used the example of my brother, the many things that he enjoyed in life, and he really enjoyed them, and they were not bad things. But they were a passing phase. But I can see that his love for Christ is being consistent. His love for God and the things of God have grown. And now he's a man past retiring and is devoted to Christ. You see, we are told to lay our treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break and steal. And then our text, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Tell me this morning, my dear friends, in absolute honesty, as you sit here before God, where is your greatest treasure? Is it in God? Do you often come to the cross by faith and look by faith on the one who hangs there and weep over your sin and thank him for his kindness and his goodness and his love? And how often do you pray this prayer? Lord, I love you, but I long to love you more and serve you better. I finish now by quoting the great Apostle Paul. You had no difficulty knowing where his treasure lay. He says this, but whatever gain I had in life, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, he says, I count everything as loss. I count everything in this world as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, he says. Now listen to what he says. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. You see, when Paul became a Christian, he lost an awful lot in this world. Many would say he even lost his family and his wife. He lost so much. He says, I have suffered the loss of all things. But he says, you know, at the end of the day, I count it all as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you to thank you for your holy word. Thank you that your word really does penetrate our hearts like a two-edged sword sometimes. But, oh Father, we thank you for everyone here this morning who can say before you, who knows their heart, for everyone who can say, I love the Lord Jesus. I love him above everything else. And as long as I live, for me to live will be Christ. And for me to die is gain. O Lord, for any who know not the Lord Jesus and do not love him, would you by grace, that free grace, awake them so that they tremble to die and in love that you will give them, come and embrace Christ. And once more we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen.